Thank you for joining us at the City Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Juwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
Praise the name of Jesus. So we're going to roll ahead quickly on our subject for this month, which is faith. Everybody say faith. 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 Project the program coming up next week. Next week we're going to be having, as I've been announcing, we're going to be having a very dear man of God all the way from Oklahoma. He's going to be around and he's going to be teaching about faith. I've known him for years. In fact, he's my brother-in-law. Amen. So he's a very powerful faith teacher. He's going to be coming to teach us, like just summarize all the things that we have been learning, you know, this month and just take it into a different dimension. He has a very strong anointing on him, you know, in terms of moving with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to see God demonstrating himself in this place next Sunday. So I ask you all to share this. We don't have the physical flyer deliberately, but share it because everybody is online right now. Amen. Most people are online. So please share it on your Facebook page, Twitter, WhatsApp, wherever you see one of them. Amen. LinkedIn. You know, anywhere that you are, please go ahead and share it and invite your friends for our Neighbor Sunday next Sunday. Amen. Is anybody excited about that? Hallelujah. How many of you have been learning something great about faith? Yeah, since we started. You've been learning. Is your faith getting built up? Okay. Now we're taking it to another dimension today. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. So let's start. Well, I'm going to do a little revision, and then I'll take it from there. Hebrews 11, verse 1. The first statement I made at the beginning of the month is that faith is the bridge between your dreams and their realization. Faith is the bridge between your dreams and their what? Their realization. You dream to pay off your school loan. You hope to do that. You have an expectation to do that. Faith is what helps you pay it off. You dream of having a wonderful family, a great wife or a great husband, and some good children. Faith is what will make that dream a reality. You dream of financial provisions. Faith is what is going to make it a reality. You dream of health, of life, of strength and vitality. Yeah, faith is what brings that into reality. You dream of having an impacting ministry or a great business or calling. Whatever area, whatever sphere that you are located in, you have that dream. Faith is what is going to bring it into reality. Without faith, dreams are not achievable. Dreams are wishes. Dreams don't come to pass without faith. Because faith is the substance. Substance means, the word substance is from sub and stand. So sub means what is under that makes something to stand. The substance of something is what is there that makes it stand. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. So meaning that faith is what is going to create the substance of the things you want in life. Hallelujah. Faith hardens. Let me say it that way. You know, when you want to make a house, you have brick and all that. You know, you put cement and all that together. What makes the house to stand, right? You put cement, you do all that, and then it hardens and becomes the house. Faith is what hardens and becomes your dreams. Faith is what hardens and becomes your dreams. So we need to learn to walk by faith. Number two, verse two. Faith is the producer of testimonies. Verse 2 of Hebrews 11:2 says, by it the elders obtained a good report or a good testimony. Faith is what produces testimonies. Anytime you see somebody sharing a testimony, it's because the person has gone through a test and the person applied faith, and that's what produces testimonies. Faith is what produces good reports. So if you hear any good report about anyone, any good report, there's something underlying it, and it is faith. Faith is the underlying substance behind testimonies. So if you want testimonies in your life, you need to learn to walk by faith. if you want to be able to share with other people the goodness of the Lord, if you want to be able to share with the world that God is working in my life, not so that you can be lifted up, but so that he can be lifted up, then you need to walk by faith. Because faith is what produces testimonies. Your families will be testimonies in the name of Jesus. Your finances will be a testimony in the name of Jesus. Your health will be a testimony in the name of Jesus. Your dreams will become a testimony in the name of Jesus. I say your desires right now will become testimonies in the name of Jesus. Because faith is what produces testimonies. Faith is what produces testimonies. Number three, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith, it didn't say this is a victory or this is one of the victories. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Every trial you go through is a test of faith. According to James chapter 1 verse 2. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. For the trying of your faith or the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have a perfect work that it can be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It is the testing of your faith. Every challenge you are going through right now is the test of your faith. Every challenge you are going through right now has come to say, let's see what he has inside. Let's see what she has inside. Let's test the substance that this person is made up of. The Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Amen. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is what? Is small. But if you have strength, even though adversity comes, you live through it. You win through it. Faith is your victory. If your faith is alive, you are victorious. If your faith has not failed, you are still victorious. God, Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. I didn't pray for you so that he won't sift you. No, I didn't pray for you so that you won't go through the trial. No, I didn't pray for you so that it wouldn't come to you. No, I pray that even though it comes, your faith will not fail. Because if your faith does not fail, you will never fail. No matter the circumstance happening around you, if your faith does not fail, you can't fail. Hallelujah. Because faith is the victory. Some people say healing has passed away. Some people say God doesn't do miracles anymore. But nobody ever said faith has passed away. Faith has never passed away. And all the miracles that God did in the Bible, he did it because he saw the faith of people. The woman with the issue of blood said, if I may but touch the hem of his garments, I shall be whole. And said, Jesus said, you are whole, daughter. Your faith has made you whole, daughter. It was our faith that made her whole. Those blind people came to Jesus. They were crying. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? They said, that we may receive our sight. And Jesus looked at them and touched them and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. He didn't say, according to my power, be it unto you. He didn't say, according to my wisdom or my awesomeness, be it unto you. But according to your own faith, be it unto you. In other words, what happens to you in life is a result of your faith. What happens to you in life, the sum total of your life is the sum total of the faith that you are expressing. So if you want the things to change in your life, you need to express greater faith. If you want things to change in your life, you need to express greater faith. Because faith is in levels. Faith is in levels. Jesus told several times, he told the disciples, why are you afraid, oh you of little faith? Why are you thinking like this, oh you of little faith? And when he saw some other people, he would tell them, I've not seen such great faith. No, not in Israel. So there's quality in faith and there's quantity in faith. There is great faith, there is strong faith, and there's little faith and there is weak faith. There's quality and there's quantity in faith. Now, when you get born again, God gives all of us the same measure of faith. The same way when you start a card game, somebody would deal to everyone the same measure of cards. Now you can lose it or you can gain it, depending on the game you are playing. The same way God also gives us the same measure of faith when we got born again. The saving faith, the faith that translates us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son. It gives the same thing. According to Romans chapter 12 verse 3, it said God has dealt to everyone who is among us the measure of faith. So the measure of faith was dealt to you. So if you are born again in this place, you are a faith person. Who has ever heard of a believer that never believes? Who has ever heard of a politician that doesn't do politics? Hallelujah. How can you call somebody a magician if he doesn't do magic? Hallelujah. Whenever, anytime you put he, her behind something or somebody, or you put I-A-N behind somebody, it means that's what they practice. A mathematician does mathematics. A statistician does statistics. You are a believer, you are a believer. There's a believing apparatus inside of you. You believe. You don't have any problem with faith. The only problem is you've been believing the wrong thing. You need to turn your apparatus in the right direction. What are you believing? Isaiah 53 says, who had believed our reports? And to whom has the hand of the Lord been revealed? Who has believed our report? Which report would you believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. There are so many reports going all over the place. The doctor brings his report. CNN brings their report. Fox News brings their reports. NBC brings their report. But the word of God also brings its report. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. The report of the Lord never speaks of recession. The report of the Lord never speaks of sickness. The report of the Lord never speaks of failure. But the report of the Lord speaks of healing. It speaks of prosperity. It speaks of better things. It speaks of life. It speaks of fulfillment of dreams. God's word is true. Which report will you believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. I don't know. Can I hear anybody say, I choose to believe the report of the Lord? I don't care what your circumstances are telling you. I don't care what your background is telling you. Oh, you are trying to achieve something and everything is telling you is too tough. You can't make it. You need to close your eyes to what they are saying and open your eyes to what the Lord is saying. For faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What you believe is what you allow to go inside yourself. Garbage in and garbage out. If you let the word of God go inside of you, the word of God will come out of you. Because you are like foam. You are like foam. You are like that mattress. Whatever you put, whenever you put it inside water, if you put it inside oil, it is whatever is soaked in that is going to come out of it. It is time for you to soak yourself in the word. So that when the circumstances come against you, out comes the word. When the sickness that comes upon your body, out comes the word. When you look around you and you don't know where to go, out comes the word. When you look at your pocket and your bank account and there's no money there, out comes the word. When you have a dream that God told you you need to fulfill and you look around and you say, I can never do it. Out comes the word. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Somebody shout hallelujah in this place today. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. There are many kinds of reports that will come to you. Every day reports are coming to you. Every day things are telling you otherwise. They are telling you you are too black. They are telling you you are too old. They are telling you you are too young. They are telling you, oh, you've done terrible things. They are telling you you don't have enough money. They are telling you your credit is bad. But it's time to look at those things and say, I am the redeemed of the Lord. And so I choose to say so. Hallelujah. Look at those things I tell them. You are not too old for God's blessings. You are not too young for God's blessings. You are not too sick for God's blessings. You are not too weak for God's blessings. You are not too poor for God's blessings. In fact, do you know that it's your weaknesses that qualify you for the blessings of God? For no man will glory in his presence. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise after the flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. Not many after the flesh. Not many strong after the flesh. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the things that are mighty, the weak things of this world to bring to naught the things that are mighty, so no man will glory in his presence. No man, please go to the next verse, so that no man will glory in his presence. And then in verse 30 say, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto you salvation, redemption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is your weaknesses that qualify you for the blessing of God. Because God doesn't want you to take glory for whatever he does in your life. So if you are weak in this place, why don't you say like Paul, his grace is sufficient for me. For his strength is made perfect in my weaknesses. Most dearly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Whenever you feel unqualified for something, that's when you are most qualified. Whenever the dream is bigger than you and it seems you can never achieve it by yourself, that's when God shows up on the scene. So rejoice in your weaknesses, because there's somebody who is strong, who lives on your inside. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I came here to encourage you today. Your dreams are coming to pass. Your wildest dreams are coming to pass. What God has told you is going to come to pass. Rejoice right now. Begin to live like it is here. Begin to talk like it
is here. Begin to exercise the spirit of faith, because God is going to bring it to pass. Hallelujah.
Amen. Today I want to speak to you about the spirit of faith. Everybody say the spirit of faith. Everybody say the spirit of faith. You see, there's something that the Bible calls the spirit of faith. And my goal today is to impart that spirit to you through the word of God, for you to see how it operates and to start walking in it. There is a spirit of faith. It is a different kind of spirit. It is not the spirit that obtains in the world. No, the spirit of faith is not common. It is not there. Only a few people have it. It is a different spirit. We're going to be taking our text from Numbers chapter 14. Where we'll start from Numbers chapter 13, and then we'll go into chapter 14. And we're going to be looking at a few things there. So I need you to follow me very clearly, because I've preached to you right now. I want to teach. Amen. I know you like the preaching, you know? Yeah, I like it too. Amen. Numbers chapter 13, quickly. Numbers 13. Let's teach. I'll still preach. You know, preaching gets you excited, but you need something. Someone say you need something to get excited about. Do you get it? You need some solid word. And then we'll get excited and throw the whole place, you know, the whole place will go into pandemonium. Amen. I love that. Amen. But let's get into the word. Numbers 13. The spirit of faith. That's the title of my message today. The spirit of faith. A different spirit. Are you ready? So in Numbers chapter 13, God told Moses, he said, verse 1, let's start reading from verse 1. He told Moses, he said, send some men to explore, Numbers 13, send men to spy out the land. Okay, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So, as the Lord command, Moses, at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. And then they mentioned their names. So 12 men, everybody say 12 men were sent out. So you're going to be jumping with me, verse 17. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev, which is the desert, and into the hill country. See what the land is like, and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kinds of town do they live in? Are they walled, unwalled, or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season of the ripe grapes. Verse 26. So the men went. So they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. Then they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is it. It is fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large, like Chicago. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Look at all these people. So they came, they brought the report. The grape of the land is good, the land is great, but there were giants in the land, and there were a lot of heights in the land. There were Canaanites, there were Hittites, there were Jebusites, there were all those heights there. So these guys talked about all the challenges, all the things that could stop them from ever fulfilling their dreams. Their age, if we're going to, you know, transform it into now, their color, their accent, their degree, their background, their health, their past, their failures, their... Give me some more. What else? What excuse do people give again? Insecurity, the economy,
the racial injustice, the police, the taxi, yes, you know, it's tax season. The taxes, what else? My job, the kind of job. I work too little and I work too much. Right? You will notice that there's no situation that anybody finds themselves that there is no opportunity to complain. A rich man, very rich and wealthy, complains about the stock that crashed, complains about the regulatory economy, complains about the fact that the poor people are sucking us. They complain about the fact that they can't sleep well at night. They complain about the IRS. They complain about everything. Now, the poor man looks at the rich man. He too looks at the rich man and says, the rich man doesn't even have any problem. He has all the money. And then they complain. I wish I had as much money as the rich man. Two of them need to meet together. And they share their problems. Amen. They will know that there's no situation that you are in life where there's nothing to complain about. Hallelujah. So complaint and unhappiness is not a factor of your situation. It's a choice. Because there are people poorer than you and happier than you. And there are people richer than you and sadder than you. Somebody shout hallelujah if you receive that. There are people married, if there's any word like that, married than you that are sad. And there are people who are unmarried than you, amen, that are happy. Are you listening to me? There is no situation that you are, that there's no opportunity to complain. It's your choice to complain. It's a choice to complain. Just like it's a choice to rejoice. Hallelujah. I choose to rejoice. I choose not to complain. Somebody said, I always complained that I had no shoe until I saw somebody that had no feet. Amen. So that will put everything in perspective. You might be complaining about where you are right now, but there are people that are worse off. And there are people that are where you are hoping to be that will make you happy, that are sadder than you. So it's a choice. Somebody needs to make a decision today. I choose to rejoice. Say, I choose to take my eyes away from the things that look like limitations. The things that are not the way I want them to be. And I choose to focus my attention on God and His Word and what He's doing. That is a different spirit. Now look at this. Look at these guys. Verse 30. So while other people were complaining about everything, they said, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. There is a can-do-it attitude. Everybody say can-do-it attitude. That is the spirit that city lights possess. When I say city light, I'm talking about people that will transform the city. They possess a can-do spirit. We can do it. I can get that degree. Here I am. I can do that. Yes. I can get that job. I can influence those people. We can do that thing. The city lights, the leading light, the city light, they think can do. We can do it. We are well able to do it. It's a different spirit. It's a different spirit that does not talk based on the limitations that surrounds it. It's a different kind of spirit. It's a different kind of spirit that can look at the ruins and declare an edifice out of it. It's a different spirit that can look at circumstances that other people say can never get better, or people that other people say can never better, or communities that other people can never set better, or projects that people say can never be done, and they say, this can be done. It's a different kind of spirit. That is the spirit of faith. Hallelujah. It silenced the people. Sometimes you got to silence the voices around you. Are you listening to me? Sometimes you got to silence the voices around you. You have to silence your bank account. You have to silence your pocket. You have to silence your friends. You have to silence the economy. You have to silence your TV. Turn it off. You're spending too much time with it. And now they've designed it in such a way that it follows us everywhere.
You know, before you could leave your house, turn off your TV. I don't think that you are done with it. But now we carry it everywhere. So we can watch it anywhere. So they keep on feeding us with bad reports. Yeah. Ah, there was an attack in Sudan. There was an attack in whatever. And then you're afraid. Ah, I better curtail my travels, you know. Who knows what's going to even happen in Chicago. So, you hear another one. As you are doing that, as you are hearing those bad reports, you are building faith in those bad reports. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There are movies and things you watch that they give you bad reports. By the time you finish watching them, your faith in God's word is already gone. So you got to watch what you watch. And you got to watch what you hear. You got to silence some things around you. Got to silence it. Silence is, you know what? Mute. Off. Because I want to spend some time in good reports. Verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we have the can-do spirit and the can't-do-it spirit. Now listen to how the can't-do-it spirit works. We can't. You know, instead of them to say, I can't. You understand? That's one of the ways the negative spirit works. Instead of it to say, I can't do it, it will generalize it. And say, you know what? You are planning a project. Say, this business. Looking at the forecast, and they can talk, and the fruit, the low-hanging fruit, and the chart, I don't think we can do it. You see, anytime people start to generalize and say, we can't, I separate myself. I say, you cannot. Because silence is acceptance. You will see. Someone says silence is acceptance. When you are silent, when people are saying things over you, you are saying, yes. So sometimes when I cannot talk in front of them, I will just walk out. We have been in meetings before that somebody is declaring something and say, this is what we'll just walk out of it. We'll take a tongue stroll. I separate myself from whatever they are saying. You know, I believe the report of the Lord. The way you notice that they finish speaking that, you come back in. And if you cannot survive any of this, you walk out of the place. Because sometimes people declare things over you and you do not even know it. Because silence is accepting it. Don't let people declare things over you and you keep quiet. When somebody curses you, look at the person and tell the person, listen, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm a blessed man. The blessing of the Lord is upon me. Therefore, no curse can work in my life. Don't accept it. Don't accept it. We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. Listen, you think these men are dead? There are plenty of these men still around. They are specialists in spreading bad reports. They come up in your life when you are about to take the steps that are most crucial to your dreams. Israel was supposed to take the reason why God took them from that place was to go to that promised land. They were about to take that step. That's when the bad reporters came and started telling them, you can't. Sometimes they are your closest friends. Sometimes they are your spouses. I'm sorry to say. Sometimes they are your boyfriend and your girlfriends. Sometimes they are your parents. Sometimes they come and they tell you, you need to be discerning. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 18, you don't need to look at that place, you don't need to turn to that place. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus Christ, first of all, talked about what he was speaking. And Peter said, you are Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus looked at him and said, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. And I say unto you, Peter, you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Matthew 16, verse 16 to 18. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gate of hell will not prevail against it. You know, but Jesus praised him. Then some verses later, Jesus said, I'm going to go and die. Peter said, never, never. Never. Over by death, but you will not die. Jesus looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. So the same Peter, some verses before, that God was speaking through,
It's the same Peter that Satan was speaking through. I want to tell you that sometimes the people that are around you, sometimes they are agents of Satan. Not because they are satanic. I'm not saying agents of Satan in terms of bad, but I'm saying that they allow Satan to use their mouth. And sometimes they allow God to use their mouth. It is for you to discern which one is coming out at that time. Amen. So when you hear me speak, say, is that from God or from the devil? When you hear your friend speak, first of all, say, is that from God or from the devil? If it is from God, you say, yeah. If it's from the devil, you say, no. Are you listening to me? Be discriminate. We saw the giants, verse 33, there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilims. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. How were you able to look at other people's eyes to know? We feel like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we look the same to them. How did you enter their mind to know that you look the same to them? Do you get what I'm saying? Unbelief, the spirit of unbelief goes into the minds of people that they cannot see and can imagine what they are perceiving about him or her. Ah! When I got to that place and I looked at the face of that man, he looked down on me. How did you know he was looking down on you? The only reason why you think he was looking down on you is because you are looking down on yourself. It is first of all in your own eyes before it becomes them. It's because there's a grasshopper mentality. And when you have a grasshopper mentality, you will die like a grasshopper. Hallelujah. That's why some people are they are grasshoppers in the United States. They just up and up. Because they feel that there's giants. I can never do anything. But I came here to give you the giant slaying spirit. By the Spirit of God, there's a spirit that slays the giant. It's a spirit that first of all sees itself as a giant in God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It does not matter if nobody has ever been to the top of that place in that school, the top of that place in that business, the top of that place in that city. If God told me to do it, then nothing can stop me from getting there. The way you see yourself is a prophecy. The way you think about yourself is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you see yourself as a conqueror, you will conquer. If you see yourself as a loser, you will lose. And listen, nobody who sees himself as a winner, can anybody ever look at them and call them a loser? Now, they can call them a loser, but they will keep on winning. Because what happens to you is not dependent on what people think about you. What happens to you is not dependent on what people say about you. What happens to you is what you say about yourself. So my word to you today, what are you saying about yourself? Are you telling yourself you are weak? Are you telling yourself you are small? Are you telling yourself I can't? Are you saying I can? Those who say they can and those who say they can't are both right. Because you are the prophet of your whole life. Lift your hands, everybody, and say I can. I can fulfill my destiny in this city. Somebody say after me, say, I can fulfill my destiny in this city. I can fulfill my destiny in this nation. I can fulfill my destiny in this world. I can accomplish the dream that God has given to me. I can accomplish the assignment that he has given to me. There's no door that needs to open that will not open. Every door that needs to open will open for me. All the favor I need will come to me. All the money I need will come to me. All the people I need will come to me. Everything I need will come to me. Because I'm not operating by my own strength. I'm operating by the strength of the Lord. I can. Yes, 14 verse 1. See, so some men, 10 men spoke. 10 men. 2 men spoke otherwise. Look at the response. Verse 1. That night, all the members, all the congregation, lifted up their voices, cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and against Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, if only we had died. Anybody that says, if only I have died, person just deceiving themselves. If you want to die, you can kill yourself now. You don't really want to die.
just looking for pity. Don't pay attention to such things. If you want to die, if only we had died in the land of Egypt.
Ah! If only we had died. Well, you are still in the wilderness. Die, you know, right? You are still there.
If only we had died in this wilderness. Verse 3.
Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword? That our wives and children should become victims. So they are beginning to release the curse beyond their generation. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt.
Let us what? Select a leader. But thank God for good leaders. So they began to pray for them. They began to... Moses and Aaron fell on their faces and began to pray for them. Just like Jesus said, I pray for you, Peter, so that your faith will not fail. He began to pray for them. Now look at what God said in verse 20. After Moses and Aaron prayed. He said, the Lord replied, I have pardoned according to your word. Talking to Moses. But truly as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord.
Amen. Read on. Not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt, in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times. Not one of them will ever see the land I promised and hold to their, as an hold to their ancestors. Not one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. So unbelief treats God with contempt. He treats God's word with contempt. But because my servant Caleb had what? Everybody shout, a different spirit. He had a different spirit in him. So listen, one thing. The first thing is, he had a different spirit. Secondly, he followed God fully. You see, as I've been preaching these words, all of you know that we're in an incubation state in City Light. There's some things that are going to be happening that we've been talking about. Some people are catching that spirit. The first, that different spirit is a spirit that follows God's word fully. Not part-time, not halfway. Everybody say fully. Wholeheartedly. I will bring him into the land he went to. And his descendants will inherit it. He will go to the next generation too. But, next one. Next verse, please. Next verse, work with me.
Since the Amalekites and Canaanites are living in the valleys, turn back tomorrow and set out toward the desert along the route of the Red Sea. I'm going to jump all that and go to verse 26. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard these complaints and these grumblings of these grumbling Israelites. So this is where we are going. Everybody, I want you to read this and never forget it. 1, 2, go. So tell. As surely as I live, dear Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. Please turn to the KJV for me. Say, as you have spoken in my ears, says the Lord, so I will do to you. As you have spoken in my ears, so I will do to you. As you have spoken in my ears, so I will do to you. The spirit of faith, and I'm talking about the different spirit, is a spirit that genuinely trusts the word of God and begins to speak in God's ears the things that God has said so that God can bring to pass those things in his or her life. God is going to fulfill your words. I mean, you better be careful how you say amen to that. Are you listening? Because it depends on what you are speaking. So maybe the answer to that is, help me, Lord. Not amen. Because before you came here today, you still spoke some things. You are still speaking some things to yourself right now. What are you saying? That's what's going to be. What are seeds? Words are seeds. It might take some time before they manifest, but they will manifest. If you have worked with God for some period, maybe a period of 5-10 years, you will have seen how seed and harvest works. Because you will have gone through seasons of sowing and some season of reaping of some part of the seed. For example, personally in the city right now, my wife and I are going through a season of a level of harvest. Some of you are seeing it, even in the nations and all that, the different things that are happening. But there was a season of sowing. Let me give you an example. For example, the video you saw yesterday, that when I came up, do you know that was the church that my wife, that's the first church I attended in the United States when I came? And my wife was the choir, was in the choir of that church. Now, the place, okay, now they've changed the auditorium, but it was the same arrangement. The place where I sat, now when I came, okay, no, so you was our pastor. This was a large church. I remember I wrote a letter to the pastor when I came then that, you know, I just introduced myself, just came from the United States, I'm a pastor, da, 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 da. I never got a reply. I understand, he must have been busy, so I don't blame him, amen. I mean, who am I? Just one guy in the congregation writing a letter to 10,000 members or whatever. So it didn't matter. So, and then I did the membership class there, and then I signed up for the service department there. You know, I told them I was an engineer. And next thing I got a call that I should come and fix the elevator. I said, I don't, it's not that kind of engineer. Like, my engineering is not up to that level to fix an elevator. They were leaving, remember? They were leaving calls on the phone. Hey, Gregory, we saw that you feel that, you know, you're an engineer. The elevator in church has a problem. We're just calling. I'm sorry. I don't do it. It's not that kind. I can't do elevator. But then, you know, then we had to go start Kingswood then, my wife and I. So we went, started in our house. And then, God said, start the city light. Now, on Friday, on Thursday, when we got there, we met this pastor. And then when we were talking, I said, you know, my wife was in the choir here. He looked at my wife and said, wow. He said, we never sent you forth properly. That was, how many years ago? 12 years ago or so. So called, put her and said, let me pray for you. And he started to pray. And said, now we send you forth. And then, so we sat down there. And a surreal moment when I was speaking. And I saw him standing beside me. And I remember when I sat down in that congregation many, many years ago. And I saw that kind of a picture. But it looked very far away. Possible. Now, why am I sharing that? Sometimes I share from my own life to encourage you. We're seeing some things right now that before used to look like dreams. Like they were not possible. Like some of you are seeing, some of you right now, there are some things that God is telling you right now that, thank you, that you think is impossible. The devil tells you it can never come to pass. Listen, if you will exercise the spirit of faith and start to say it, in spite of what the circumstances say, God said, as surely as I live, as you have spoken in my ears, so I will do to you. What is the spirit of faith? The spirit of faith is that attitude, that can do attitude, that believes and speaks. 2 Corinthians 14, verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore what? Speak. The spirit of faith. You are quoting the wrong thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13. We have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Mark 11, 23. I say unto you, let's start from verse 22. Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. He might not have it immediately, but he will have whatever he says. Actually, the correct word there is that, but look at it, he will have whatever he keeps on saying. The word says there is present continuous. That's the way you say it in English, but there's a tense in the Greek, you understand, that speaks of a verb, that speaks of something that is constantly happening, not something that happened in the past. He will have whatsoever he keeps saying. So it's not what you said before and you stop saying. It is what you are constantly saying. What are you constantly telling yourself? What are you constantly telling your dreams? Don't you know that these things can hear? Jesus gave us this example because he spoke to a fig tree. Don't you know your dreams can hear? Sometimes you are telling money to go away from you. Sometimes you are telling your dream, move away from me. You need to start telling it, come. You need to start calling the things that are not as though they are. You need to start saying what you want, not what you can see. You need to start saying what you want to see, not what you see around you. You need to start saying what you want your destiny to look like. You need to start saying what you want your children to look like. You want to start saying what you want your grandchildren to look like. You need to start saying what you want your health to be like. You need to start saying what you want your job to be like. You need to start saying how you want your destiny to be like. I dare you to exercise the spirit of faith. I'll give you one last example and we're going to stand up and pray. There was this young man. You all know him. His name is David. David faced a giant called Goliath. Everybody was scared of that giant. I told you, it takes a different spirit to make a difference. City Light, raising people who makes a difference. Who make a difference. That's our motto. Raising people who make a difference. It takes a different spirit to make a difference. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Goliath was taunting everybody, and all the people in their armors and all that, they were scared, from King Saul to the lowest of the people there. They were all scared, the men of war. Because this guy was somebody who was trained to be a man of war from his youth. And he was so tall and mighty and so intimidating that everyone felt we could not do it. A whole army could not come. And this guy was taunting them every day. Oh, bring your strongest man. Let him come and fight me. And the Bible says, and he cursed Israel by his gods. He cursed Israel by his gods. Sometimes there are some circumstances that are cursing God in your life. David will say, Lord, don't let the enemy be able to speak against your name in my life. There are some things that they're saying, oh, he says he goes to church, he carries the big Bible, he does all the things, but look at his life. Those things that he says, I start this business, it will not work. I started this, it will not work. He can't look at that, you know, so he can't even get, you know, look at, you know, and they're cursing and they're doing all that, and you know, now it's time for you to get angry and say no. So when David, some people are used to the curse. Ah! But God forbid that I will ever get used to the curse of the enemy. That I ever got used to the taunting of the enemy. Jesus was never used to it. He looked at the fig tree and said, he answered the fig tree. No man will eat fruit from you ever again. If I want fruit from you, you're supposed to give it to me. No man will. Don't allow the circumstances of your life to begin to dictate your life. It's time for you to rise up like a lion. And begin to say something different. Exercise a different faith. Speak to your marriage. Speak to your children. Speak to your finances. Speak to your community. Speak to your home. And change the spirit there. Because we've been anointed by the Holy Ghost to change it. Change your family. Nuclear, extended. Change it. So this man was taunting them and taunting them. Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you, the servant of Saul, choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The words, everybody say words. The man was using the principle against them, words. So they became afraid because of the bad report. Verse 12. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem. Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advancing years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had got to follow Saul to the battle. The name of these 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest. Sometimes God will use the youngest. Sometimes God will use the weak, the one that is not advanced in age, the one that has not been corrupted, the one that has not seen, that has not been wrapped up in the things that are happening. I tell you, God is going to change things in this nation, and He's going to do it through the upcoming generation. God is going to change things in this city, and He's going to change it through some people. They are young right now, but God is going to groom them. They're not going to be groomed in the public. They're going to be groomed in the secret. They're going to be groomed by taking care of sheep and being faithful with the sheep. Because if you are not faithful with the sheep that God has committed into your hand, He can never give you the opportunity to take over His sheep, the great people that you are supposed to lead. If David had not been faithful with the sheep, he would not have been the shepherd of Israel. If you had not fought the lion and fought the bear, he wouldn't have had the skills to fight Goliath. So everything that you are facing, no matter how long it's taking, you are walking there and nobody thinks that anything is happening. You are singing and then nobody thinks, you think nothing is happening. And you are doing leading light and doing foundation school and doing assignment and obeying your leaders and carrying trash and doing all those things. You think those things don't contribute to your destiny? Those things are what makes destiny. If you cannot pass those tests, you are not ready for destiny. If you cannot go through that, no matter how much you dream, no matter how much you run along, no matter how much you read, no matter how much you talk about it, you will never get there. Because it takes a government to get to where you're supposed to do, to get where you're supposed to get to. It takes you being faithful in little before God can give you anything. If what God has committed into your hand in His church, or committed to your hand in the secret, if you are not taking care of it well, you will never commit more into your hand. It is impossible. And the scriptures cannot be broken. That's why you must take care of whatever has been committed into your hand as if it is your own. The 3 others followed Saul, but David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at evening. So this guy was already helping Saul, he was playing the harp, but he would still go back to those sheep in the evening when nobody was there to take care of them. That's a faithful man. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. For 40 days he was taunting them. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dry grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp. And carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of your 1,000 and see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them. See? Instructions and obedience. Cheese carrier. Everybody say cheese carrier. Me. When I'm supposed to be in the battle, you're telling me to carry cheese? Cheese? Is that what is significant right now in all these things we're talking about? I am called to do great things. David could have said that. Samuel came and anointed me, poured oil on me, and said I was going to be great. And you are telling me cheese? Until you learn to carry the cheese, you will not carry the destiny. That's the way it works. Until you learn to carry the cheese. Some of you, I'll talk to you, you don't know how to carry the cheese. And I'm your pastor. I need to teach you. Watch my life. Watch our lives. There's no task too menial for us. I sweep this church. Every time I come, I pick up trash. Today I still pick up trash. There's nothing that has been done in this church that I've not done before, apart from singing. Try to sing. I even try to play the drums, you know, keyboard and all that. But there's nothing. There is nothing. Because I understand the carry the cheese principle. If you don't carry the cheese, you can't defeat Goliath. So it is simple instructions to go and do something that is not related to your destiny that leads you into destiny. I've seen it. I have an assignment. Somebody said, go do something. I'm going to do something. And then I meet destiny on the way in the place of service. That's how destiny works. Not all those ones. You can try everything, but until you follow God's principle, the scriptures cannot be broken. It can work for unbelievers, but it can't work in the kingdom. The same way you can't drive, the same way you drive in the United Kingdom, in the United States, they will arrest you. That same way, even though Bill Gates or many other people outside the kingdom can do some things and get away with it, when you are in the kingdom of God, you have to drive the way we drive in the kingdom of God. Because there's a system of laws here. Saul and this. Yeah, taking a little time. But I'm going to land it now. Amen. Everybody, are you ready to land? You know, we're in flying. Get ready to land. Now, Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. What kind of fighting were they fighting? I don't even understand. They were scared. Then David rose early in the morning. Everybody say early in the morning. I mean, if you read, you see, early in the morning, this man was a man who was faithful. And he didn't just say, oh, my father told me to go and do something. So the sheep he was keeping, he just threw the sheep away. He said, God has told me to go and do this assignment and throw the other responsibility away. No. Smart people, when you have a responsibility and you are given a responsibility, you make sure that you take care of the one that you are doing. He found a keeper. Someone said he found a keeper. And then he left it, the sheep, with the keeper. He didn't say, the same dad that told me, can I do two things at the same time? I have to do this one. I carry the cheese and also get the sheep. So sheep. No. He took care of that one. Amen. And went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines are drawn up in battle array, army against army. Hey! Oh, my Lord. Verse 22 or whatever. Whether 18 or whatever. But let's go on. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper. See? Taking care of every tiny little thing. Ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistines of Gad, Goliath by name, coming from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. And David heard them. The things that will change your life usually happen to you accidentally. Something that you just overheard when people are talking. You are not aware. He wasn't aware of what was going on. He just overheard that. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen the man who has come up? Surely he has come to defy Israel, and shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and give him his daughter. When David had daughter, you know David had that woman issue, said, daughter of the king. And gave his father's house exemption from taxes. Taxes and daughter. Oh Lord. I will never pay taxes again. Oh Lord. Tax exemption. Then David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? In other words, those who plow should have plow in hope. If you are working, always ask God, what is the reward for this? Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That word is loaded. This Philistine did not have a covenant. Circumcision is covenant. It's a sign of an agreement with God. This guy has no agreement with God. How come he's defying the armies of the living God? Who is this man? And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab is oldest brother hurt. You see, the people who dampen your dreams. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? With whom have you led those few sheep to slaying Goliath for a nation? Those few sheep in the wilderness. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. You have come down to see the battle. David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned away from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first one did. And when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul. And Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. And David said to him, Saul said to him, you are not able to go again. You see them again? Bad report. I see you. You are so young. You are so naive. I've been like that before. There was a time I used to be very rambunctious and all that before too. You are not able to fight. For you are a youth. And he, a man of war from his youth. David said to him, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when the lion and the bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out of it and struck it and delivered the lamb from his mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by the beard and I struck it and killed it. Oh God, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Can you see the spirit of faith in action? God who has done it before will do it again. The one that killed the lion and killed the bear will kill this one too. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why the challenges you are facing right now is they are just references for the bigger one that will lead you to your destiny. You know, when you want to get a job, they give you, say, what are your references? Your references are those things you are dealing with now, right now. For the next level, your references are the things you are dealing with right now. Be faithful with them because that's your reference for the next level. Somebody shout hallelujah. The Lord will deliver me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of Philistine. And Saul said to him, when Saul saw the way the guy was talking, because Saul had been anointed before, Saul saw that, hey, there's something about this boy. He said, go and the Lord be with you. Go. So the spirit of faith on him, go and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of nail. You know, people will try to put upon you the things that have worked for them. Or that didn't even work for them. But it is not what people put on you that is going to work for you. It is the things that you learn that is going to work for you. It is not somebody's biography that will work for you. It is your own. Amen. Because there are different circumstances and different situations. It is the things that you have built your skills in that will work for you. Through little faithfulness. That is the one God is going to use. I followed my pastor to Willow Creek. He's preaching at Willow Creek, the global leadership thing. And they were sitting down with the people organizing it and they were talking. And they were asking him questions. And I learned. Sometimes you be quiet and took instruction. Before they called him. Now this is speaking to a worldwide audience of 160,000 leaders at once. He's the only African there. What did they do? They first of all went and looked at all his messages. They brought out notes. They had several notes of his messages that they had watched online, everywhere. They called City Light Church. They called Sister Joyce and said, we need his messages before an American audience. They called City Light to try and get how to spell my last name. As in, they researched. Then when we sat down, they told him, they said, the message is only 30 minutes. He just laughed. He said, that's what I do in church anyways. And he has been on radio for 20 years. He stopped it one month ago. Just short things. So the brevity, he had learned it. So as they were asking him and he was talking and talking, they were all excited. I saw. And then when we did the interview, Pastor Olumide was there. They interviewed him. So they put him in the studio to interview him and all that. They never had to do a retake of any of those interviews. They were like, what? This is different. He just talks. I asked him, I said, I see what is happening. This is what God has been making you to learn for the past 20 years. Now, the same thing is now being brought to a global audience. Some of you think that what you need for where you are going is going to come when you get there. What you need for where you are going is what you are learning now. It's what you are learning now. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk. For he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with this because I have not proved them. KJV said, I have not proved them. I have not tested them. So David took them off. And he went to get a sling. And he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag. Shepherd's bag. The same bag he had keeping the sheep. With some stone that he has been using before. Going to fight Goliath. The same thing he had been using, learning. Going to fight Goliath. In a pouch that he had. It's something he had, not something he was going to get. Listen, you are not going to get what you need for success. It is what you have that produces success. It is what you develop now that produces success. Not what you are going to get then. It is now. The most important time of your life is now. Forget about the elusive future. Forget about what the dream that is going to come is going to better the end. No, focus on now. What are you doing with what you have now? Are you faithful with what you have now? What are you doing with what you have now? Let God take care of your future.
The sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistines.
Look at it. Words. Everybody say words.
So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was only a youth. Some of you, God will tell you to do some things. When you get there, people are going to laugh at you. I remember Amara was saying that when she was running for mayor. She met some of those mayoral people. And in one of the meetings, they were all just treating her like, who is this one? What does she think she knows? Now she ran. But that's not the end of it. Amen. There's something greater coming. They will laugh at you. It's just a youth. Ruddy and good looking. In other words, the guy was not rough enough. <laughs> You know, wasn't rough enough for, I mean, running a city or doing all that, you know, this person has been roughened by the corruption and, you know, this one, you look at this face, you know, this one has been there. But this one was just so fresh. Many times I go, I remember, I go to speak in some places, and before I get there, when they introduce me and I come out, because people think I'm 29, you know. They're like, it's 29. Until I start to speak, and they will not start listening. And just look at people. Don't look at people's faces. Are you listening? Am I a dog? That you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give you your flesh. I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts. See, he was trying to use the same method of words against David. But you know, he doesn't know that this one had a different spirit. This one also knows how to use words. Are you listening to me? He also knew how to use words. So look at what David said to him. David turned back and said, everybody say said. This one was one with the spirit of faith. David said, come to me. Hey, bring it on. For I, and me, that's my language, I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Oh, you come to me with a sword and a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the armies, the God of the armies of Israel. Whom you have defied. He continued to talk. Don't stop talking. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you. I will take your head from you. This day, I will give your carcasses to of all the camp of the Philistine. Not beyond you. All the camps to the birds of the air. And the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And then all this assembly shall know, he didn't stop, that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will get you into our hands. David spoke what he wanted to happen. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran. David didn't say, he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his back and took out a stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. Word number one came to pass. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine. He took his sword, drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head to show you how to get ahead in life. Want to get ahead? That's how to do it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel have been, for 40 days, they have been you know, not able to do it before, they were scared, suddenly woke up. And they pursued the Philistine as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And they wounded the Philistines, fell along the road to Sharam, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and they plundered their tents. So everything that David said was going to come to pass came to pass. Like he said it. Because he had a different spirit. You have that spirit if you will choose to use it. What has been defying you? What has been coming against you and defying your life and defying God in your life? I need you to rise up on your feet right now and be like David.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.